This week on the Movie Talk Podcast, Scarlett Johansson in Jurassic World, and my review of Bad Batch episodes 6 through 9. Okay, so starting with the news, we've only got one story. Scarlett Johansson is in talks for Gareth Edwards' Jurassic World movie, which we've talked about in previous weeks. And I have mixed feelings about this. On one hand, Gareth Edwards I like as a director, and I'm really curious to see what he does with Jurassic World. Scarlett Johansson is one of our best working actresses, so obviously casting her in anything is a bonus for that project. And obviously she's proven that she can lead and handle a big blockbuster franchise, so I have hope that this will be good. But on the other hand, I don't know. I like Scarlett Johansson in serious actor mode. I like her in Asteroid City, Under the Skin, Marriage Story, more like indie or interesting filmmakers, stuff like that. And I'm really hoping that by signing on to this Jurassic World, she's not losing her ability to participate in movies like that. And I'm hoping she's able to still balance, because I want to see her in more kind of awardsy stuff. So that's our only news story for the week. Let's now get into the featured review for this week, Bad Batch episodes 6 through 9.
Cover us. Keep your eyes on the water.
What's in the water?
That's why I never go in the water.
Okay, so starting with episode 6, this was an amazing episode. This was the two-parter with 7, one of the show's best. First of all, like, it's always interesting how the kind of event episodes and the two-parters of this show instantly announce themselves with the animation, with the music, with the tonally, the intrigue. You can instantly tell that, like, this is a bigger deal, and this is a bigger episode, a more important one, and episode 6 totally does that. With the killer opening on Pantora, with Rex, we see Hauser checking back in with Rio Chuchi, meeting with Senator Singh. Obviously, we've got these shadow clones. We head to Teth, which was awesome to see with updated visuals. Teth was that very first planet in the Clone Wars movie when they have the assault on the big palace and they're trying to save Rada the Hutt or whatever, that purple planet. And to see it in the modern animation was so cool. They go to investigate, they meet with the Bad Batch, Echo goes to Gregor, Omega gets a new crossbow, which is kind of cool to see her upgrading her weapon from last season. Also, I wanted to shout out, I noticed in this episode, lots and lots of scenes of big groups of clones talking and several clones talking and having a full conversation. And obviously, it's all Dee Bradley Baker doing all those voices, but you don't notice that at all. He is so good as every single one of these characters that you can't even tell it's the same guy doing all of them. So shout out to Dee Bradley Baker. We learned that the Empire tried to make Crosshair into one of those shadow troopers. The Imperial reinforcements arrive. We get Commander Wolf. And it's time for a full-scale battle, which commences with Episode 7, which is another amazing episode, part 2 of this two-parter. This one is less to cover because it's mostly just action. You get Crosshair versus the Shadow. The Shadow goes rogue and clearly does not just follow Imperial orders. The Wilhelm scream was in there, and I clocked that, and that was funny to see. You get the 1v1 in the water. Always like to see when someone pulls out a vibro knife in Star Wars, so that was cool. The Rex and Wolf reunion was pretty cool. Wolf's decision, and he decides to let them go. Really interesting, and I'm curious to see, will he pop back up? And if he does, will this somehow lead to his fate in Rebels? And how will this connect to Rebels? Really interesting. The operative, the Shadow Clone, survived, which is interesting. I'm curious to see how he becomes important. And the Bad Batch decide it's time to figure out what about Omega is so important and why does the Empire want her so much. So that leads us into Episode 8, which is another great one. Kind of a side mission, but a really solid one. The animation of this episode stood out. Pabu, as always, looks beautiful. the space station they go to, this new kind of orange yellowish planet they go to is really good looking. Hunter and Wrecker go to Fennec Shand to investigate the M count. What else? If you've been following this channel for a while, you know I love Fennec Shand. I love that character. Kathleen Kennedy, I know she's the devil and we hate her and she ruined Star Wars and blah, blah, blah. But in the behind the scenes documentary for Mandalorian, she made a really good point, which is that the best Star Wars characters are instantly recognizable with their silhouettes, and they have a strong silhouette. And Fennec Shand is the prime example of that. Her costume design is so interesting and so unique and so memorable. So I really like that. Loved her throughout this whole episode. I love the Kiner's theme for her too. The music whenever she shows up is really great. And then Ming-Na Wen as Fennec Shand always kills it. She's an experienced voice actor, so she's great. This episode also gives us some more Omega Crosshair development, their relationship, some more development on Crosshair's hand. They're theorizing it's something mental, which makes sense. I figured as much. They do the meditation. There's this beautiful shot of the sunset. And I'm just excited to hopefully get more answers with this show in the future, because they've been holding a lot back. So I think we're getting to the point where it's time to really get those answers. With Fennec Shand, they have the crocodile monsters, the skiff on the river, which reminds me of that episode of Clone Wars with Obi-Wan and Quinlan Vos, where they have to track down Zero the Hutt. And then there's the fight scene. The design of Siler was really cool. They take him out. Fennec then gets on a call with Ventress. So that was episode 8. Episode 9 is another solid one. Although I will say I have a few more hesitations about this one. First of all, yes, this is the Ventress episode. I will say I wish they didn't spoil her return in the trailers. It would have been so cool to not know she was coming back. But that's okay. I was super happy to see her back. I love that character. There's a cool fight scene. Love to see her doing some hand-to-hand combat against the Bad Batch. Reminds me of that Dathomir arc, where she does a lot of hand-to-hand combat in that one. And then she pulls out the lightsaber, of course, and then the sound design of that is really good. The main theme, Bad Batch theme, kicking in is really good. She tries to teach Omega the Force. There's this whole thing with the giant radioactive turtle squid thing that she connects with, which is pretty cool to see a darksider connect with an animal. We don't see that very often. The thing that just frustrated me about this episode, really, is we didn't get an answer about M count. The Bad Batch now know what it is, but Ventress told Omega she doesn't have one, or she has a very low one, I mean. But then she kind of hinted that she could be lying to protect her, and we just don't get a real answer. And that's just frustrating. Like, at this point, I think it's time for us to figure it out. And just personally for me, I hope that what Ventress told Omega was not a lie. I hope that Omega has a low M count, because I don't want her to be force sensitive. I think what's special about her blood is not that she's force sensitive, but that it's just more receptive to transferring force sensitivity, and that's what Palpatine wants. So I'm guessing that's what it's going to be, but I think it's about time they officially say it. Going back and talking about Ventress more, Nika Futterman slips right back into the role. She's great. Also, in terms of voice acting, Michelle Ong, really, I noticed how she's kind of deepening her voice and how much the progression of her voice for Omega has come since season one, and I was really impressed with that. The animation opening with Pabu not looking beautiful and colorful as we're used to, but looking gray and somber, and I think that's foreshadowing to what I'm guessing is a full-scale Imperial assault on the planet. And I have a feeling that's going to be the finale of this show. The one last thing I should mention is, obviously, Ventress is part of the book Dark Disciple, which I've read, and I really enjoy that book. And in that book, she does die. And this show seems to retcon that, but there's a moment where Ventress also says, "I've got a few lives left," which could be hinting at something. I'm holding out judgments. If they did retcon and they never returned to this, that's disappointing, because You know, there's a history of Dave Filoni just retconning over books and other Star Wars stories, which sucks. But if that line does go somewhere and I could see us seeing more Ventress, I could see her getting a spinoff. Maybe she'll be a part of the next Star Wars animated series. Hopefully we get some sort of explanation about how this fits with what happens in Dark Disciple. So that's that. And short one this week. I didn't have much to say, but really enjoying Bad Batch Season 3, and I'm excited to see where it goes from here. That is my review of episodes 6 through 9. What did you think of these episodes? How are you liking the season? Let me know. And thank you so much for listening, and have a good day.